Hello, and thanks again for joining me for another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Washing Word, hand car washing business. You can find us on Highway 11W in Church Hill. We're over there in the Palace Shopping Center, and we invite you to come by. Let us work on your cars. This is how we earn the money to keep this ministry and these teachings going forth free of charge. We never ask for any money. We never ask for any donations or tithing or charity or any of that. We believe that we should work in an effort to put forth God's word, and that's what we do here. This is what we were called to do, and so we earn the money it takes to put these Bible teachings on the radio. We also broadcast them here at the Washing Word. Basically, if you show up anywhere in the parking lot here in the Palace area, over by the library or Holston Medical Group, just all you gotta do is tune to 107.1 FM, and we play verse by verse Bible teachings on a 24/7 loop. We have 5 a week, and they just keep playing over and over again. So, anytime you're in the parking lot, just tune on the radio. Whether you're waiting in line to get your car washed, or you're just sitting in the parking lot eating your pals, tune to 107.1 FM and be fed the Word of God. And that's what we're going to go ahead and do right now. If you have any questions about the ministry or about this business, just go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And you can find out everything you need to know about the business and the ministry from that website. All right, let's get back into our verse-by-verse teaching. We are in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian church. The letter is designed to act as a correction letter, which we know didn't fully work. How do we know? Because there's a 2 Corinthians. So we'll pick it up in verse 5, or rather verse 6 of chapter 4. And again, if you want to listen to any of the older messages that we preached, or you want to catch up to where we are, maybe listen to the last chapter, go to washandword.com, click on the media tab, and you can listen or download those for free, and that'll catch you back up to where we are. So chapter 4, verse 6, let's go ahead and keep reading. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and that without us. How I wish that you really had become kings, so that we might be kings with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. Let's stop right there and kind of get an idea of what Paul's talking about here. If I had to sum it up in an application point, rather than reread it, let's just sum it up. And that would be this. Christian maturity is placing oneself at the end of the procession. I'll say that again. Christian maturity is placing oneself at the end of the procession. And that's what Paul's talking about here when he says we feel like we've been placed at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die. Have you ever been to a parade? And as you're watching the parade, each float goes by, and then there's maybe a brass section, and there's different sections. And then as the parade continues, you kind of notice that there's less and less fanfare as the parade kind of goes on, as the tail end begins to approach where you're standing. And Paul's big transfer of teaching to application is that not only are we okay with God placing us at the end of a procession, which is just another way of saying we are putting ourselves as number two, that we're not elevating ourselves as the premier object of worship, or the premier object of following after. And this is what Paul's addressing in this section of 1 Corinthians. He's dealing with the divisions in the church and how people were splintering off and following after one man or another man. One followed Apollos, one followed Paul, another group followed Peter. And this is what he's saying. He says, look, put yourself, if you're in a position of power, if you're in that position of leadership, put yourself at the end of the procession. Because again, Paul says, even if God places us there, or we put ourselves there, in every case, it's something that we have to go out of our way to make sure we are standing at the back of the line. It is your job as a Christian, as a leader, as a pastor, as a teacher, as an evangelist, as a missionary, to put yourself second. You know, I mean, that's just one way of putting it. Really, we're supposed to put ourselves last. But as long as we're not putting ourselves first, that's the most important thing. And so Christian maturity is to seek out the lowly places, to seek out the menial jobs in the kingdom. The pastor where I serve right now at Abundant Life Fellowship, Pastor Joel Allen, he talks about how he spent 3 or more years, what he says, serving the natural within the church. In other words, he was willing and demonstrated a willingness to clean the bathrooms, to pick up the parking lot. And for 3 years, he did this, knowing that the call of God on his life was to start, to lead, and to foster a church of his own. He sat back and did the natural. And sometimes that's what Christian maturity is. It's stepping back from that heights which God has called you to. And friends, listen, there's a difference between God putting us in a position like that and us putting ourselves there. You know, we need to look around. We need to ask ourselves, where do I need to be that is most likely a place or a thing that no one else wants to do? Oh, but handsome radio preacher, I have a high calling of preaching God's word. I am a senior pastor. I have a doctorate in biblical theology. I would never think of cleaning bathrooms. Well then, my friend, if that's your attitude, you are as immature in Christ as a brand new believer. Maturity in Christ is to place oneself at the end of the procession. Let's read on with Paul as he continues his thought. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Let's stop right there because, friends, anyone who reads these words, I can't imagine you wanting to run off and sign up and enlist in an army that puts you in a place and a position of all those things that Paul has just spoken about. But see, here's the big catch. We can either put ourselves in those positions or we can put ourselves in high positions. In other words, Paul's saying we are in all of these lowly places. We are treated lowly. We are unwise, we have no place to sleep. But see, this is done on purpose. It is a deliberate putting yourself down. And so it's continuing our theme of Christian maturity. To sum up those verses we just read, Christian maturity is not only placing yourself at the end of the procession, but Christian maturity is denying your right to be right. Do you know what I mean by that? Denying your right to be right. Because in Christ, you have so much power, so much right, so much freedom, so much expression of manifestation of power through the Holy Spirit. Yet, Paul says, you need to become a fool for Christ. Or as he says, the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. You say, well, that doesn't sound like the attitude a Christian should take. We should be standing proud and bold and firm. We have this freedom in Christ. Listen, through a series of contrasting behaviors, Paul is showing them that they were not who they thought that they were. Listen, if you want to be elevated in the kingdom of God on earth, put yourself last. Let God elevate you, because that's the only place where true elevation can come from. It's the only place where you could be recognized as true and as elevated. He's saying that there is more to this Christian walk than what they in the Corinthians church were currently doing. Paul says no matter how lowly we become, no matter how despised, how mocked, and how badly treated, We are to answer kindly. We are to respond with love. We are to work hard and not complain. He says we are to deny what very well might be rightfully ours for the sake of the gospel. But again, I hear you out there. But I'm a pastor of the church. Do I not have the right to a few fringe benefits? I am a missionary to the poor. Do I not have the right to a nice hotel once in a while? I'm a volunteer at the homeless shelter. Do I not have the right to a fine restaurant if I choose? I'm always helping people. Do I not have the right to be recognized by the assembly once in a while? Friends, I thank God that Jesus never said, I am the Son of God. Do I not have the right to forego this whole crucifixion thing? And on it goes. Do I not have the right to defend myself when the world is attacking me? Do I not have the right to defend my safety of my family and my own well-being? Well, actually, let's stop right there for a second, because I believe this is a topic of discussion that rarely gets talked about, but I think is on the minds of a lot of people. It brings up an interesting topic within the body of Christ. We'll call it a sidebar, if you will, and we'll probably end our teaching on this, but at what point, this is the question I want to pose, at what point do we stop denying our right to be right, as Paul is saying here, and rightfully so? Again, we are to put ourselves last and deny the things that we are we have a right to, sometimes deny the things that Christ died for us to have for the sake of the assembly, for the sake of another, and that's fine. But again, at what point do we deny our right to be right and move into a position of the world's doormat? I mean, at what point would I give up my right to defend myself and just roll over and take it? At what point would I just give up my right to defend my family if danger were to come? And someone might say, well, the scripture is clear. Luke 6:29 says, Jesus says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one also. And if someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him. So someone might argue that point and says, well, you are never to stand up for ourselves. And if somebody slaps you or physically abuses you, you are to let them continue to do it. Even Jesus in the garden says, I could have called legions of angels down here. Jesus at his trial remained silent. Jesus, while being hit and mocked and spat upon, said nothing. Yes, to be a little Christ, which is what a Christian, what the word Christian means, is to endure as Jesus did. And the only way to do that is to be sure that your persecution and your mockery is checked by verse 4 in this chapter. Paul says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord God who judges me. Listen, friends, when persecution arises, when we are mocked or beaten or maybe killed for our faith, be sure that we can stand before God with an innocence and a clear conscience. Because if we could endure our trials and our persecutions with a clear conscience, then we will be given the grace and the strength to endure that. But if we are riddled with guilt and anger and unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and jealousy and rage and vengeance and any of those types of attitudes when it comes to defending ourselves, our reaction to being slapped in the face is going to be much different. Whether or not we react Christ-like during ridicule or mockery or physical assault will depend on our current position and status of righteousness. If we are right before God, if our conscience is clear, we will have the strength and the grace and the power to endure whatever this world may throw at us. And so keep that in mind, because I don't know if you know this or not, but persecution is on its way. America has denied God too long for us not to become persecuted soon. And Christians, be ready. The only way you can be ready is by the entirety of God's word, getting all of his counsel into our lives. And that's why we do these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. Remember, go to washandword.com if you want to hear these teachings that you missed. And we hope to see you over at the Wash the Word. Let us know you've been hearing these teachings on the radio. That would encourage us. Have a blessed day.